This is the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Brady, back to throw. Play action. Fires down the field. Caught. Tight at the 40. 35. 30. To the inside of the 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. Count it. Touchdown.
The Patriots post-game show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game. Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Patriots post-game show here on patriots.com. I am Adam Jones. We'll be going for 2 hours here following the Patriots' 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. And I think the spectrum, you look at this game through the lens that you look through for this game, is through the lockout. And you say, well, okay, that Patriots defense didn't look like it skipped a beat. Tom Brady in place, same system in place offensively for the New England Patriots. And what do? 517 passing yards through the air for Tom Brady, four touchdowns as the Patriots pile up 38 points. And then conversely, you look at the defensive side of the ball, and the Patriots struggle on that opening drive right out of the gates. And they struggle in the second half, giving up yards. They let Chad Henne throw for over 400 yards in this game. So in that regard, no questions answered after this first game. The Patriots pile up that victory. They're one of three teams that are 1-0 in the AFC East. But I don't know that a lot of big picture questions for me were answered tonight. I thought the offense was good. I thought the new look defense would take time to gel. And I still have question marks about that defense. You saw some dropped interceptions. We didn't see an awful lot of pressure from the New England Patriots. So certainly offensively, they look every bit as explosive as we would have expected out of this club. But still some question marks remaining on defense despite a 14-point win down in Miami. It is the Patriots.com post-game show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email us webradio@patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts throughout the night on this Patriots 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. You'll hear from head coach Bill Belichick coming up in just a little bit. We'll also play you Tom Brady after his record-setting night. And we'll also hear from another player, hopefully, from that Patriots locker room following their victory over the Miami Dolphins. And as we like to start each and every show here on the Patriots.com postgame show, let's get right to it in the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen. And I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Pretty self-explanatory. We take you through the high points, the low points, and also the players who got nicked up in each and every game here on Patriots.com. And we start with Tom Brady, obviously on the good side of things tonight. 517 yards, a career high for him.
Everyone sucks but me.
A franchise record for the New England Patriots. Four touchdowns, two to Wes Welker, including that 99-yarder. And I thought just the tempo that Brady played at throughout the game caught the Dolphins off guard a couple of different times. And that connection that he has with Deion Branch, two huge drives for the Patriots in the second half of that game. Their second and third drives of the second half found Branch, three receptions, 39 yards. It set up a Welker touchdown, his first of two on the night, and two receptions and 33 yards on the third drive, which set up Aaron Hernandez's one-yard touchdown. I just thought the connection that those two had is so apparent. And it's just the opposite of what Brady and Ocho Cinco have. Tight ends obviously had a huge night as well. They combined for almost 200 yards of total offense, a touchdown each for Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. And I liked how they were utilized in this game. A lot of Gronkowski in that first half, a lot of Hernandez in that second half. Patriots adjusted as the matchups dictated. And you saw Hernandez really make an impact in that game. Over 100 yards tonight, seven catches, and that big touchdown in the second half, which put the Patriots up at the time by two scores. So you sit here and you look at the night that Aaron Hernandez had and the night that Rob Gronkowski had, and they're obviously in the good column as well. I also thought Nate Solder, somebody we spent a lot of time talking about in the preseason, had a nice quality night for the Patriots tonight. Outside of that one drive at the end of the half where Cameron Wake wreaked a little havoc, Solder was called for a hold. Other than that, I thought he held his own. And I expected him to. Everybody's freaking out. No Sebastian Vollmer making this trip. I don't know. I still think Solder has a good chance to not only have the ability to be plugged in on that line, but he may never relinquish that job to Sebastian Vollmer if he continues to do what he did tonight. So I thought he was certainly in the good column. Some of the thumbs down tonight and the bad for the New England Patriots, that defense on the opening drive and the defense in general certainly lagged behind the offense tonight. But that opening drive, we've seen some symptoms of that in the preseason. We saw it in the opener against Jacksonville. We saw it in the Detroit game as well. And tonight, Dolphins marched right down the field, 12 plays, 84 yards. There was a fourth down conversion by Hilliard on that opening drive, and then Chad Henne runs it in from 9 yards out. Thought that was a far from ideal way for that Patriots defense to start the game, and we've seen that throughout the preseason. I also thought Ocho was on that bad list tonight, just one catch on 3 targets. He had that killer penalty where it was just a brain fart. He lined up in the wrong spot on the field, and it negated a 35-yard completion to Rob Gronkowski. And I also thought Steven Gostkowski with that missed field goal is also on the bad list. Let's go to the podium right now, where we hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
But, I mean, Danzo's a great job for us, don't get me wrong. But we'll see what happens.
What do you think of the defensive performance in general?
They're a pretty explosive offensive team. You know, they got a lot of guys that can make plays. They got a good group of receivers, good tight end, good back. You know, quarterback played well, so... we had our moments. You know, we made some plays, and kind of there was. You know, they made a few, so it was a good give and take. You know, the turnover at the end was big. We hit the quarterback, but he stood in there, made some good throws, and you know, again, they got a good group of receivers, so good group of skill players.
You were somewhat frustrated on the offense performance after the Lions preseason. What were you able to do between then, or what was the group able to do between then and now, which obviously much more success?
Well, I mean, that's a long time ago. You know, you go through training camp and preseason games, and you know, there's a lot of things that aren't right, believe me. Even when they look right, they weren't very good against Jacksonville or Tampa, for that matter, either. We had plenty of mistakes in those games. So, you know, that's what preseason's for, is to play people, correct mistakes. You hope you don't make too many, but it's inevitable that you make a bunch of them, and then get the timing down with the guys who are going to play more and hope to improve it. And, you know, again, I thought it was, you know, competitive tonight, but there are still a lot of things that we need to do better. So that's obvious. So, you know, we got to go back to work, and, you know, it's the first game of the season. We got 15 more in regular season. Hopefully we can, you know, improve on a weekly basis. I mean, that's what we need to do. We're a long way from being a good football team right now.
Bill, obviously the weather conditions been able to deep defensive line rotation, but otherwise linebacker, cornerback, safety, are you still trying to figure out what you have at each position and evaluating those guys early on?
Well, if we play the players in the game, we're confident of them, so when we put them in there, that's we're confident they can play.
Anything else, guys?
Good.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Don't forget, you hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady as well throughout the course of the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. We'll also get a player live from that locker room after the Patriots start their season off on the right foot as they improve to 1-0 with a victory over the Miami Dolphins. And how you get in touch with the Patriots.com postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. And just finishing up there on the good, the bad, and the injured, and we ticked through it. Good list, obviously, Brady, the tight ends, and I thought Nate Solder deserved a spot on there as well. In terms of bad opening drive, that defense just didn't come out, wasn't ready to play, or was caught off guard by the tempo the Dolphins came in at. Reggie Bush, a major problem on that opening drive for the New England Patriots. He had 33 combined yards, pair of rushes, and a pair of receptions. I also thought Ocho and that communication continues to be a problem for the New England Patriots. Just one catch on the night. Clearly, the third man out in those three wide receiver sets. And also, Steven Gostkowski missed a big field goal right before halftime. Some momentum that the Patriots could have taken into the locker room. He was also on the bad list tonight when he missed that 47-yarder. The only injury of note to really keep tabs on tonight for the New England Patriots, and there will be other dings and dents. I know Mike Wright left the game. But the big one for the New England Patriots tonight, Dan Copen, and how the Patriots will make do without their center, a guy who's been a rock on that offensive line, and left with what the Patriots are calling a left ankle injury. You wonder if something snapped in the knee, or you wonder what's going on down in that ankle, but it certainly didn't look good. Anytime they get to wheel the guy off, anytime you see his fellow offensive lineman walking away in frustration and really looking disgusted with what happened on the field in terms of the injury. That looked like a bad one for Dan Copen, and certainly not the way you want to get the season started off with an injury to your starting center when the Patriots are already so thin on that offensive line. You know, Nate Solder already had to start in place of Sebastian Vollmer. It was Thomas Welch activated off the practice squad right before the game. And then he was your only other active offensive lineman. So really pretty thin on that offensive line were the New England Patriots here tonight. And we'll see what kind of roster transactions they're going to have to make. But the Copen injury, definitely a blow. That was good, bad, and injured here on the Patriots post-game show on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. And you did get a look at the Patriots offensively. You knew right from the get-go they had it going right from that opening drive. Big long connection from Brady to Matthew Slater, 46 yards, a perfect throw as Slater was laid out. Green Ellis wound up punching it in from 4 yards out on an athletic run. And then on that next drive, even despite the illegal formation call against Chad Ochocinco, which took away a 35-yard gain to Rob Gronkowski, Patriots answered right back, took a 14-7 lead with a 10-yard touchdown for Rob Gronkowski. And you knew early on in that first quarter, the offense had it firing on all cylinders. Brady en route to well over 500 yards tonight and 4 touchdowns. As the offense, don't have a ton of question marks about their night. The defense, I still do have some questions on that side of the ball. And we'll hear from you here on the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We'll kick it off with John in Boston. You're first up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's going on, John?
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Doing excellent, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Watched the game, and I thought your analysis was excellent. You know, I think that even though it seemed like a close game for a lot of the game, I thought it was, just a really tremendous performance by Brady. Like you said, the injury is distressing. But, you know, I don't understand why they have guys like Ochocinco. I don't know why they pick up guys like that who they just don't seem to fit into the Patriots system.
Yeah, I mean, certainly he was on my bad list here tonight, John, and I don't know how you could be overly impressed by what we saw out of him tonight. I think bringing him in was worth the risk, if you even want to call it that, or worth the gamble or the roll of the dice. I think he can add something to this team. But you're seeing, and again, I started it by framing it through the lockout and just saying, look, the offense for the Patriots, not much changed schematically. Tom Brady's still in place, still the same offensive coordinator, by and large, a lot of the same personnel. And they picked up and were firing on all cylinders. Really, one of the only guys who didn't was Chad Ochocinco. The backs looked good when Green Ellis was in the game tonight, when Woodhead was in the game tonight. The tight ends both made an impact. Same thing with Welker and Branch. The one guy who hasn't been here and was kind of left out was Chad Ochocinco. But I do think that's something that, as their familiarity increases, John, I think that'll start to improve over the course of the season. And if it doesn't, John, honestly, what'd they lose? The offense still put up 38 points tonight and looked pretty explosive. So that's sort of the way I look at it.
All right, well, thanks very much. Have a great night.
All right, we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398, here on the Patriots postgame show, Patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, following the Patriots' 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins, a place that has been a difficult place for the Patriots to play down in Miami. Now back to 500 under Bill Belichick. Patriots are at 6-6. So they've struggled down there, Sun Life Stadium or whatever they're calling it now, Kevin. But, you know, you look at Chad Ochocinco, and that's the one reason why, even if he's not on the same page, I think it's pretty clear that he's not. He's not even out there in two wide receiver sets. Yeah, he can yell at Bill all he wants, but he's not even out there in the two wide receiver sets. That's Welker, and that's Branch, and deservedly so tonight. And by the way, I couldn't quite find a way to sneak him onto my good list, but I thought Deion Branch on those two key drives to start the second half was huge for the Patriots. Those 5 catches for over 70 yards when they really were just picking on the Dolphins' secondary, play after play after play, quick snapping when Vontae Davis was out of the game. I thought Deion Branch made a huge impact early on in that second half, and I thought you saw the dichotomy where Tom Brady is just so comfortable with certain receivers, Branch being one of them, Welker another, and even the tight ends. And then you saw Ochocinco, 1 catch, 3 targets, few miscommunications, 1 terrible penalty, and he didn't even play for a ton of the game tonight, Kevin.
And after that kind of stunning turn of events where the Patriots looked like they were driving down to extend the lead after halftime, and you have the kooky deflection and the return that turns into a touchdown for Miami to tie the game, I thought Branch's presence, calming presence, leading them down the field was huge to kind of settle the offense down.
No, and I think that's certainly some of what we saw tonight from the New England Patriots. You can weigh in on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Rick writes in to webradio@patriots.com. Could this team continue to focus on a tight end offense for the remainder of the year? They'll have to focus more on the running game. We need a pass rush. So a few different thoughts there from Rick, who writes into webradio@patriots.com. I do think it's interesting, Kevin, and you saw some of this. Part of the reason the Dolphins hung around in that game is because the Patriots just couldn't grind it out. They didn't have the running game tonight, and clearly it was a matchup thing from Bill Belichick, where he felt that Woodhead was the better matchup for whatever reason, and the Patriots decided to go back to Woodhead throughout the course of the game. They were not going to establish the run early in that game. They were going to try to beat the Dolphins through the air, and they had success with it. But I really expected at halftime, once they started opening things up by 11 points, then 14 points, and you're looking at it going, okay, they're going to start pounding away with Green Ellis. They didn't do it. And I do think that's part of the reason why the Dolphins hung around in that game. I certainly didn't think the pass rush was great, just to touch on Rick's final point. And I didn't see a ton of flashes from that 4-3 defense tonight. Where was Jerod Mayo being let loose all over the field? You know, where was that front seven constantly pressuring the quarterback? I didn't see a ton of it. But, you know, Patriots still get out of there with a 2-touchdown lead. I have a lot more questions on the defensive end than I do about the offense from the Patriots tonight, and I think most of you would agree. Again, you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's continue to hit the phones. Lucas is in Brazil, and you're next up here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. What's going on, Lucas?
Nothing much, guys. Just after the game, you know, really happy about the performance, and just want to share a few thoughts.
What out?
The defense, especially.
Sure.
I thought the defense, just like you said, was kind of iffy, but I really liked what Albert Haynesworth did. I think he really pressured the quarterback. It's just that Henny avoided a bunch of sacks. He was hurried a bunch of times, just that he completed the passes when he was hurried, and we don't see that very often. So I thought he got kind of lucky. Maybe it's his skill. I don't know what it was, but I thought the pressure was there. He just completed the passes. And on the offense, it's kind of rare to see an offense when the center goes down, the center to quarterback is changed, gets kind of iffy, and it's really nice that we saw that with Brady, and they really had great communication with Connolly. And I have a question for you on Connolly. Is he a better blocker than Copen is? Or, because could we develop Connolly as a center and then move Copen around? Because I thought he did really good in that game. And I know Copen has had some issues with pressure up the middle. And on Chad Ochocinco, he's a luxury. I mean, I really don't expect him to play a lot in the first, I don't know, 3-4 weeks of the season. You can just have him sit on the sidelines and go to practice all the time and start gelling with that offense, because we really don't need him. But when he gets really comfortable with the system, put him in, and I think he'll make a difference.
No, and Lucas, a number of good points there, and thanks for the phone call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's how you get in touch with the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let me tick through a couple of those points if I remember them. First of all, on Connolly, I think he is a nice interior substitute along with Ryan Wendell. Dan Copen, I don't think he's a Pro Bowler, but I think he's solid. And by the way, Dan Roach of WBZ-TV is reporting Dan Copen with a broken left ankle, which I don't think should come as a shock given how he left the game and given how it was reported as an ankle injury. But we don't know if it's season ending. We don't know if Dan Copen's going to be coming back at any point, but certainly it didn't look good. And I would err on the side of season ending injury for Dan Copen. Although, Kevin, I'm no MD. I'm no doctor here, so, who knows.
Yeah, no.
But certainly
for the foreseeable future.
Certainly it didn't look good, and that's the way to say it. You know, for the short term, you're going to be without him. So that means Dan Connolly, unless they go out and sign somebody else in terms of free agents. So that means Dan Connolly at center. But if everybody's healthy, Copen's your guy. That would be my take on that. In terms of Henny, this is sort of how I feel about Chad Henny. What we saw tonight is about what you get. I don't think he's anything special, but I think Patriots fans, and specifically people I talked to during the week on ESPNBoston.com, thought he was worse than he is, and I thought Chad Henne was adequate tonight. He threw a ton of passes, so take the 400 yards for what they're worth, but a couple of touchdowns. He showed some maneuverability on the ground. And I don't know. I didn't think Chad Henne was awful tonight, and I thought that was pretty indicative of how Chad Henne's played against you. Outside of the season finale last season, Chad Henne's been okay against the New England Patriots. I thought he showed some of that tonight. And just that final point by Lucas on Chad Ochocinco, I agree. He is a quote-unquote luxury. They'll score points with him. They'll score points without him. So for me, the Patriots piling up 38 points without Ocho, you can frame that as a good thing. And you can say, hey, that's not the worst thing in the world. But the one thing I would wonder, and the one thing I would question, is if this goes on for a long period of time, and if it stretches for a long period of time, you know, what does that mean for Chad Ochocinco? And does it mean that the Patriots will just go forward with Ochocinco, not necessarily in two wide receiver sets? And you saw very productive nights from both Wes Welker and from Deion Branch in that game tonight. And look, there's no urgency for the Patriots to get Chad Ochocinco out there in those two wide receiver sets when you're dealing with two productive guys, two guys who are comfortable in that offense with Tom Brady, two guys who were part of an explosive offense last season. You know, certainly you'd like to see a more productive night from Chad Ochocinco in his first game in a New England Patriots uniform. Just one catch on three targets. He also had that penalty. But that's one of those things that, look, if it comes around, great. Then this offense has a real chance to get better. And if it doesn't, really, what's the harm? The offense was explosive last year, 38 points tonight. Brady threw for over 500 yards in the game. So for me, it's icing on the cake if you get him up to speed. And, you know, sooner or later, I'd expect him to become more comfortable in this offense. I don't see how that can't continue to progress, but I understand why Patriots fans have a lot of questions about Chad Ochocinco and his contributions to that game tonight. You know, we did took through some of those positives, and I told you, one of the guys who I thought made a major impact, especially early in that second half, Vontae Davis goes out of the game. And this is where that communication level, the lack of it, that people cite with Chad Ochocinco, and then just how obvious it is that Brady and Welker and Brady and Deion Branch just have this great chemistry on the field. I think you really saw that early in the second half, especially when Vontae Davis went down. Branch caught five passes on consecutive drives for over 70 yards, and you just saw the Patriots just continue to go right back to him each and every time down the field. And I thought that was a major turning point in that second half for the New England Patriots. And I thought that's where you see that communication level, that unspoken level of communication between Brady and Branch. It's there between those two, and it's not there yet between Ochocinco. It's why he's not out there in two wide receiver sets at this point. I thought you got a real productive night out of both Wes Welker and Deion Branch. And speaking of Deion Branch, he joins us live from the Patriots locker room following their 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. And first of all, Deion, thanks so much for taking the time here on the Patriots postgame show.
Hey, thank you all. Thanks for having me, bro.
Now, biggest takeaway, Deion, from the victory tonight?
What's the biggest takeaway?
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, Deion, the biggest takeaway from the game tonight.
I think the biggest thing that we stuck together. You know, I think throughout the game there was a lot of adversity, a lot of up and down that was going on. And I think we overcame a lot of adversity, stuck together as a team, and fought through it. You know, there was a lot of different elements that was involved with the game tonight for us. And I think as a team we overcame it.
How did the tempo of the game, how did you guys affect the game with that up-tempo pace?
Oh, it was good. You know, it was good at times, and then there was times that we hurt ourselves. Like myself, I had a false start and stuff. You know, things that we got to make sure that we correct and that we the things that we can control, we have to make sure we're doing them correct. And the times that we hurt ourselves were the times that we didn't go down and drive and get a field goal or get a touchdown out of drive because of the mental errors that we had on our side.
Is that something specific to this game plan, or is that something you guys want to try to do all season?
You know, it dictates game to game. You know, it was something that Coach wanted to work on, and we came out and we did it. I think we were pretty successful at times, and then I think at times it was real bad, which was a lot of self-inflicted wounds. You know, that's some stuff that we have to work on as a team. You know, make sure we take care of things that we can do and control the things that we can control to be a better team.
Deion, there was that one stretch early on in the second half where you and Tom really had it working. You had five receptions for over 70 yards on back-to-back drives. Just talk about those couple of touchdown drives, which was set up with a Welker touchdown and also the Hernandez touchdown.
Exactly. No, it was just making plays. You know, I think the opportunity was there for guys, and we connected and made the plays. You know, just the stuff that we've been doing in practice. You know, we've been working real hard in training camp, the preseason, and then now it's just time to roll this over into the season.
How about your thoughts on Tom Brady's night tonight? Over 500 yards in that game.
Jesus, crazy. I didn't even know it until, like, you know, I spent about 2 minutes left in the game. When we're on the sideline, like, praying that, hey, defense hold up, and if we need to go out there and put another score on the board, we got to do it. And the guys glanced over at the screen and was like, man, Tom's thrown, has thrown for 500 yards. And I'm just like, wow. You know, you don't even feel it because you're just so into the game. Guys that are trying to make plays, we're trying to win the game, and we care less about the stats. But when you see something like that, man, it's just kudos for our quarterback, man. He's a great guy. We love playing hard for this guy. You know, he wants nothing but the best for the team, and that's what we want for him.
I guess it doesn't hurt when 99 of those yards come on one touchdown to Wes Welker.
I know my guy Wes, man. He's special, man. He's a special guy. Trust me, we truly appreciate him for that one play, one touchdown. You know, I think the biggest thing in the offensive line, they requested that we have more of those this season. So,
what'd you think of Welker when he was breaking away? You think he was going to run out of steam going to the end zone?
No. You know, I knew my guy was going to hold up. You know, the biggest thing, I was running behind him just like, hey, make sure you get in there, baby. Please get in there.
Talking with Deion Branch, Patriots wide receiver, following the Patriots 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins here on the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Deion, we talked about your impact, also the impact of Wes. How about those tight ends tonight, Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski?
I've been speaking about these guys for the longest. These guys are doing great, you know, and trust me, the stuff that they're doing now is the same stuff that we've been seeing all training camp, man. These guys are unbelievable. These guys are unbelievable. You know, it's just a big mismatch, and I enjoy watching these guys perform, man.
You mentioned the mismatches that those two guys create. When did you first really realize the type of impact these two guys could create in the passing game?
Last year, actually. You know, when I came back to the team and I was a part of the team, just to see these guys, these young guys running around making plays. You know, guys love being on the football field, doing exactly what the coaches ask of them. You can only, you know, expect the best from these guys. They practice hard each and every day. You know, they want the ball. Just like a receiver, they want the ball as well. So, you know, I think the coaches do a good job of getting the ball to them as well.
Deion, we saw Chad Ochocinco held to just one catch in that game tonight. How do you feel he's adjusting to the offense?
Oh, he's doing good. You know, I think that's, you know, time it continues to get better and better. But Chad is working hard. He's doing a great job for us. He's doing everything the coaches ask him.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about an awful lot, and that you obviously were familiar with this offense when you came back from Seattle, but how difficult can it be to pick up that offense, especially coming from the other side of the lockout?
So it can be. You know, this is all about, I mean, we're all professionals. You know, we take our job real serious, and then, you know, we have to do whatever we can, and with the help from the guys and everything, each and every day, you know, make sure guys in the playbook, and the coaches do a great job making sure when we go on our football field, we know exactly what we're doing.
All right, we'll leave it there. He is Patriots wide receiver Deion Branch, a big factor in the Patriots season-opening victory over the Miami Dolphins. Deion, congratulations. Enjoy the victory.
Hey, thanks, sir.
All right, Deion Branch joining us here on the Patriots post-game show, Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium as the New England Patriots take care of the Miami Dolphins in week one. And we talked about this. The impact of that offense right out of the chute didn't even seem like it skipped a beat. Just seemed like it was last season, or at least the regular season. Forget about that playoff game. But didn't even seem like it skipped a beat. And again, the right way to look at it and the proper lens to look at this game through is after the lockout. And we saw it, I thought, in that Packers-Saints game last Thursday night. This offense with Brady in place and Belichick in place and O'Brien in place and really outside of Chad Ochocinco, a lot of the personnel in place. I just think you look at it, and the lockout didn't affect that offense one iota, not one bit. And then on the other side of the football, still have a lot of those same questions that I had about the defense coming into the game. Can they pressure a quarterback? Can they cover? When Chad Henne throws for 400 yards, what does that say about that secondary? I thought Devin McCourty was up and down tonight. I thought the safeties were up and down in that game tonight. I will say Rozai Dowling looked pretty good. He's a name we haven't mentioned yet at this point. But a lot of those same questions linger on defense against what I think was a pretty mediocre offense in the Miami Dolphins. And you wonder if that's something that's going to improve. You wonder if it's lockout related. Or you wonder if they're flawed on that side of the football and the Miami Dolphins exposed it. You can weigh in on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508
888-298-0398 or email us webradio@patriots.com. A lot of you waiting patiently. We'll continue to work our way through the phones here. Let's go to Sean in Las Vegas. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, man? Appreciate you taking the call.
No problem, man.
I had a couple questions for you. One is, you already touched on it, but I really think the safety position is pretty weak. And besides, you know, Devin McCourty playing in the backfield, as well as Patrick Chung, I think we just really need help. I was in the stadium tonight watching the game. Matter of fact, I'm on the bus on my way back to the car, and I just really felt like we were so weak in that position. They caught everything back there. I just want to know what you have any insight on what possibly maybe picking up some people to help us out because we just got tore up back there.
Well, and Sean, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I mean, the obvious names, they're still out there and kicking. The Darren Sharpers, the Ronaldo Hills, those kind of, they're still out there. And if the Patriots were interested, I think they would have made a move. So, I don't know, for the time being, Sergio Brown, Josh Barrett, those guys are probably going to be back there as a safety alongside Pat Chung. I mean, that's my expectation at this point. But the one dark horse, and I will say that, you know, this was shot down a little bit with the way that the name we just mentioned, Razi Dowling, started opposite Devin McCourty. Those are two big physical corners out there. And you have to wonder if the Patriots will experiment with one of those bigger corners. Maybe it's Molden. I thought there was a chance that Dowling would shift over to safety. You have to wonder if we'll see any of that at any point this season, if safety continues to be a problem. And look, I don't want to – Chad Henne threw for over 400 yards, but don't just focus on the numbers. You know, don't just focus on the pure sheer total of yards. Because, look, it took him 50 or 49 attempts to do it. So I thought Henne looked good. I thought he looked adequate. But, you know, he certainly wasn't tearing up this defense all night. And, you know, Brandon Marshall picked apart the defense. He's going to do that. He's going to do that to a lot of secondaries this season. So I wouldn't say it was all bad from the secondary tonight. But certainly, up and down night for McCourty, up and down night for those safeties. And you wonder if changes are coming. I would say at this point, Patriots probably have to address some offensive line concerns before they start addressing any concerns in the secondary. We'll continue to hear from you on the Patriots postgame show, Patriots.com Live. From our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's continue with the phone calls. John is in Los Angeles, and you're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's going on, John?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good. I think, actually, I disagree with something you just said, which I think there's a good chance they'll find a veteran safety now because they do that thing where after the if he's not on the team for week one, then it's you don't have to guarantee a salary. Sure. So I think Sharpers could still come along. But I thought, obviously, it was a great performance tonight. And it's a little disappointing in terms of the safety thing. And I think the biggest mistake they made was not signing Jared Page in the offseason, not re-signing him, because all of a sudden, and, you know, if you have him, you feel a little bit better about getting rid of Sanders and Merriweather.
No, and he wound up signing in Philadelphia. And, John, I understand where you're coming from. And, look, I've thought that's been a need. Even when they had Merriweather and Sanders here, I thought a veteran safety was a need on some level for this Patriots club. And they decided to go into the season with Sergio Brown and with Josh Barrett. And you know what? Look, I think ultimately that's going to come back to bite them at some point. I don't think that's enough talent in the secondary. But I also expect them to stick with it for a little while, John.
Have you heard anything about Copen? Is it for the season?
So the report, John, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. The report from Dan Roach, WBZ-TV, is broken left ankle. And the extent of that, what does that mean? Is he going to miss the season? Is it going to be a long, stretched-out injury? That's something we don't know at this point. But that is the latest, and certainly it didn't look good for Dan Copen in that game tonight. The good news is the offensive line held it together for one game at least, even after Copen's injury. We'll continue to hear from you. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Continue to hang out there, and we'll get to you here on the Patriots postgame show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium on patriots.com.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed, and nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donut stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is Kevin Collins with your Patriots.com radio NFL scoreboard. The Packers beat the Saints Thursday night, 42-34 behind 312 yards passing, three touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers. In Sunday action, the Bears all over the Falcons, 30-12 at Soldier Field. The Bengals surprised the Browns, 27-17, despite losing starting quarterback Andy Dalton. Bruce Gradkowski connected with rookie A.J. Green for a 41-yard touchdown late in the fourth quarter to seal that deal. The Bills blow out the Chiefs in Kansas City, 41-7. The Eagles throttle the Rams, 31-13. The Ravens spanked the Steelers, 35-7, and the Texans absolutely dismantled the Colts, 34-7, in the debut of Kerry Collins. The Lions topped the Buccaneers 27-20 in Tampa. The Matt Hasselbeck era in Tennessee begins with a thud and a 16-14 loss to Jacksonville. Cam Newton comes up just short in his NFL debut as the Panthers fall 28-21 to the Cardinals, despite Newton throwing for a rookie record 422 yards and two touchdowns. The Chargers come from 10 points down to beat the Vikings 24-17. The 49ers take care of the Seahawks 33-17. The Redskins beat the Giants 28-14 at FedEx Field. And last night, Tony Romo's two fourth-quarter turnovers sealed victory for the Jets. a 27-24 win over the Cowboys. I'm sure all of Patriots Nation is thrilled with Mr. Romo today. The only game in progress right now is out west between Oakland and Denver. Currently, Oakland leads that one 10-3. We'll keep you up to date as we continue here on the Patriots postgame show. Patriots.com Radio is the official home of PFW in progress Tuesday through Thursday, noon to 2. I'm Kevin Collins, and your next update is in just 30 minutes.
Back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway game. Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Still working our way through this Patriots 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. It is the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones, alongside Kevin Collins, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. And I've told you a couple of times, big picture, not a lot of questions answered for me about this New England Patriots club. Offense explosive, we knew that. Defense has question marks, we knew that. Chad Ochocinco struggling to pick up the offense. We had a pretty good idea about that one. And Albert Haynesworth, how's he going to be used? Didn't start. Quiet night from him. So not a ton answered in terms of big picture questions for the New England Patriots. And it's hard to do that through 1 week anyway. But obviously a lot of good on the offensive side of the football. And probably more than you initially could have expected. Really the one major drawback on offense outside of the one everybody's going to go to with Chad Ochocinco is that injury to Dan Copen and what it means for the New England Patriots. I just wanted to read this one email here, webradio@patriots.com, before we get back to the phones on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Continue to hang out there, and we'll get to you in a second. Scott writes in from England. Guys, what do you think of Sean O'Hara, the ex-New York Giants center? He's pretty good before his ACL tear, and Copen's out at least 6 weeks, probably all season. And again, that's speculation on the emailer's part. But Dan Roach, WBZ-TV, says it is a broken ankle for Dan Copen, and the extent of that is it season-ending, we're not sure. And Scott ticks through a couple other names. Jake Kirkpatrick, a rookie out of TCU, former teammate of Marcus Cannon, is another name that they could look at. But the big question, is it worth bringing somebody like that in, O'Hara or a younger player, is it worth bringing them in instead of Dan Connolly at the center position? It also gives the Patriots depth. And my sense on that is no. My sense on that is Dan Connolly's your center going forward until Dan Copen comes back. And whoever they sign, maybe it's a promotion off the practice squad where they have a couple of interior offensive linemen. You know, maybe it is another younger player out there that the Patriots can go sign. But honestly, for me, I don't see them bringing in a veteran at this point. They've already done that with Brian Waters, and that's an awful lot to ask in the middle of that offensive line. I think it's Dan Connolly, for better or worse, or Ryan Wendell, if and when he gets healthy. I think that's what you're looking at for some of that depth along the interior offensive line for the New England Patriots, and they'll bring somebody else in for supplemental depth. But that's the way I look for it from the New England Patriots. So we'll continue to hear from you. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's continue with the phone calls. Greg from the billing department has been waiting patiently, and you're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, how you doing, Pac-Man?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Not bad. I was actually working during the game, but I got to watch a lot of it because we were kind of slow in my section, so it worked out. But there was a couple of things that I saw. First of all, the offense was fantastic, but to me, it's even more promising knowing that when Ochocinco finally gets the offense down, that it's going to be more explosive than it was tonight. And also, if the Patriots, I just think that we should sign another lineman, because we don't know how long Sebastian Vollmer is going to be out, and obviously the injury to Copen, we have no idea how long he's going to be out. So I mean, we started what, six linemen or seven linemen tonight?
Yeah, they promoted Thomas Welch off the practice squad right before the game.
Oh, okay.
So that was their seventh offensive lineman, but then you lose Copen. So you're right, Greg. By the end of the game, you were down to six guys, with one of them being a practice squad player.
Right. Exactly. So I feel like we should get a little bit deeper, but at the same time, we don't even know how long Vollmer's going to be out for. All we know is that he has another back injury, and it's kind of iffy with that. And then Copen with a broken ankle. I mean, I speculate as well, at least 6 weeks with the broken ankle. So, I mean, you want to kind of patch up there. And also the safeties. The defense just didn't look as good as I thought it would be coming in.
No, and Greg, look, not to be a downer, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398, but I'm with you. And, you know, for me, those questions about the defense, I don't know, weren't answered for me tonight when Chad Henne's throwing for 300-plus yards, and I don't think he was outstanding, but I certainly think he picked you apart at various points. And, you know, for me, that's an issue. If Chad Henne's picking you apart, how's it going to look against the Philip Riverses of the world and the Ben Roethlisbergers of the world? You know, how's it going to look against Drew Brees? So, for me, that's a red flag for this team. And I certainly didn't see any flashes of what I saw in Tampa Bay from the preseason. And if you were looking for that in that game tonight, then you're going to be disappointed in this Patriots defense. Not saying it was a terrible night. I thought that first drive was just not the way you wanted to get this game going. And obviously, anytime you're giving up a touchdown at the beginning of the game, that's an obvious statement. But you're looking at a team marching down the field, 12 plays, 84 yards. You give up a fourth down conversion on that opening drive. Chad Henne runs it in, of all things. And you just look at it and you go, okay, this is supposed to be this overhaul defense, and this is how they come out. This is how they get their season started in a 7-0 hole. I just thought that was representative of the night for the New England Patriots, and I still have a lot of question marks about that defense. And Greg hit on it. The safeties are at the top of that list. And I thought McCourty was up and down tonight. I thought the pass rush was up and down tonight. But the safeties, that's the one area you look at. Chung was everywhere. He was a madman. But other than that, Sergio Brown, you know, Josh Barrett, are you sold on these guys? And it still makes you scratch your head a little bit. I know he was in a reserve role for the Chicago Bears this last week or yesterday. But it still makes you scratch your head a bit on why they got rid of Brandon Merriweather. And it doesn't make sense to me yet. Maybe that'll become apparent over the course of the season. But that move still does not make sense to me yet. You know, but looking at what the Patriots could do, I still think, and I know I'm in the minority on this, I still think there's a better chance that Solder holds onto that job and never loses it. And as the caller pointed out, we don't know the extent of Vollmer's injury, just like we don't know the extent of Copen's injury at this point. But I wouldn't be surprised, I wouldn't be shocked if Solder, especially given what we saw tonight, just holds onto that job. Even if Vollmer comes back and he's healthy, I wouldn't be shocked by that. Nate Solder is picked in the middle of the first round. And I think Vollmer is a decent player, but he struggled in the preseason. You know, he's been struggling with back injuries, and you know what? If Solder continues to hold his own, I don't think Vollmer just gets that job handed right back to him. So there's some depth for you at tackle. I think once Wendell gets healthy, and maybe that's an if, but if you get him healthy, that's still decent depth on the interior of the line. If you're going Mankins, Connolly, Waters with Wendell backing up those three spots, I don't think that's terrible. So I don't know that the Patriots go out and make a major move on the offensive line. I wouldn't expect a major move at safety either. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio, at patriots.com. Let's continue with these phone calls. Steve's in Texas, and you're next up here on patriots.com. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Pac-Man. First, I'm really glad with the fact that the Pats got a W, but I think now, looking at the situation with both the offense and with the defense's secondary, it comes down to one thing, that's cohesion. And the one thing that the Pats are really good at doing is bringing in personnel, having them fit the Pats scheme, but I think with the shortened season, that it's kind of coming back to bite us a little bit now. And looking forward, you know, Solder had a monster game, and I agree with you. You know, I think he could have no problem keeping that position. As far as the safety, I think it's even a little bit bigger than that. It's the cohesion of the whole defensive secondary, including the linebackers, the corners, and whoever they get at safety, where, you know, in the days of a guy like Teddy Bruschi, they just clicked. I haven't seen that happen in recent history with the defense especially. The offense, I think we're okay. It's just a matter of going forward. I think that's really going to kind of be my watchword of are we cohesive again on both sides of the ball? And more importantly, is the defense going to actually come up with a decent pass rush and put some pressure on a quarterback? Because Henne actually went over 400 yards. And, you know, you mentioned the other elite quarterbacks. You know, this year Manning's out, which kind of gives everybody a break. But the Breezes of the world, the Roethlisbergers of the world, are going to be problematic, I think, unless we really kind of pull that all together.
No, and Steve, I agree with that point. Thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398 here on the Patriots postgame show, patriots.com. Adam Jones and Kevin Collins here live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You know, for me, that's just the one question that I would pose. And yeah, I wouldn't call it a dominating victory by any means. And look, if the Dolphins just convert, and we haven't even talked about this, but if the Dolphins just convert on that fourth down play, you know, from the half yard line, where for some reason the Dolphins decide to throw a jump ball in the back of the end zone to Brian Hartline, if they just convert at that point, after Devon Bess, who was initially ruled into the end zone, was touched down at the half yard line by Lee Bodden, you know, if they just convert there, you're talking about a one possession game, and maybe the outlook is a lot different. And I guess you can look at it as the Patriots held on the half yard line. I thought it was a poor play call from Tony Sparano and the Miami Dolphins. So maybe we look at that differently. But for me, I still have a lot of those same questions about the Patriots. And I think the caller just hit on it. Can they pressure the quarterback? Can they turn it over? And, you know, we didn't see that playmaking tonight. And I remember coming in here after that Tampa Bay game, and you're sitting there going, man, this is what you wanted it to look like. You know, this is what you expected that 4-3 defense to look like, pressuring the quarterback. Andre Carter was unblockable in that game. So was Jerod Mayo. And, you know, for me, I just think back to that preseason game, and it's like since that point it was the Lions game, and then you got into the Giants game where it was just all scrubs from the New York Giants, but at least it was promising in terms of what you saw. And, you know, for me, I still have a lot of those questions on defense. And look, 24 points, not the end of the world. But again, remember who you're going against, Chad Henne and, you know, Reggie Bush. And they were able to move the football pretty much at will throughout the course of the night against your defense. And great, the offense can mask an awful lot. But I don't think it's going to be every game where Tom Brady's hanging up 500 points and four touchdowns and really slicing up what I thought is a very good Miami Dolphins defense, a very good Miami Dolphins defense. So take nothing away from the offense at this point. But, you know, for me, I have a lot of question marks on the defensive side of the football. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Champy writes in from Toronto. Nate Solder's the man. Totally schooled Cameron Wake. The defense still sucks, but I know it will improve. F the Jets and go Pats. That's Champy from Toronto writing into webradio@patriots.com. Look, I thought Solder outside of that one stretch, at the end of the first half, where Wake could really pin his ears back. And this is how it went at the end of that first half. You know, Cameron Wake able to pressure Tom Brady by splitting Dan Connolly and Nate Solder. And then he was able to draw a hold on Solder and also was able to beat Solder for a sack. Though really, I thought that was as much on Brady and the receivers not getting open as it was on Solder. But, you know, you're going to say he got beat for that sack. But overall, I thought it was a pretty excellent night from Nate Solder. But as Champy points out, a lot of question marks still remain on that defense for the New England Patriots. And if you're not going to look good against the Miami Dolphins and Chad Henne, who are you going to look good against? So that's really the big takeaway for me. And I understand the defense can improve and they can evolve over the course of the preseason. But certainly not a lot of my questions were answered tonight that I had defensively. And you can look at any positional group on that defense, defensive line, you know, the linebackers right on through the secondary. And I think you can work your way through a number of question marks at all of those spots. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's how you get in touch with the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's continue with the phone calls. Tiffany is in Wisconsin, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Tiffany?
Hi. I think you guys are being a little too hard on the defense. I saw some improvement in the defense. There were stretches, I think, in the third quarter where we were getting to Henne, and maybe in the end of the second quarter as well. We stopped them from scoring twice in the red area. So I'm not entirely sure what everyone was expecting. You know, the Steelers, the 85 Bears, I don't know. But one question, is Mike White still on the team? Is he injured or, you know, what?
Well, we saw Mike Wright at the end of the game, Tiffany, and it was a good catch by you, but we saw Mike Wright with his helmet off over by the coaching staff at one point during that football game. Certainly no update from the New England Patriots, but never a good sign when you see a player who's had concussion issues in the past standing next to the coaches away from the huddle with his helmet off. So that's certainly something to take note of, but no official note from the New England Patriots coming out of that football game tonight, so no update on Mike Wright. But look, I mean, I don't want to be overly harsh on the Patriots defense tonight. I just think none of my questions were answered about the Patriots. I wasn't expecting the 86 Bears. I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, I was at least hoping that, you know, once the Patriots had a big lead, they'd put the Dolphins away. And I understand they got soft at the end of the game. And, you know, you're willing to give up some big yardage plays in exchange for ticking time off the clock. I understand that. And like I said, I know some Patriots fans are going to look at that play from the half-yard line, fourth down, where the Dolphins elect to throw up a jump ball to Brian Hartline as a good defensive stop. And I guess that's one way of looking at it. But from the half-yard line, I don't know. I thought it was a questionable call. So give the Patriots all the credit in the world. They got the stop. But I just don't know if that's what I'd be hanging my hat on. If you're looking for positives out of the defense, I'm not necessarily sure that the Patriots defense had a heck of a lot to do with stopping that play, as much as a poor throw from Chad Henne and a poor play call from Tony Sperano. Again, you can get in touch with the Patriots post-game show here on Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Tony writes in. Hey, Adam, I did like what the Patriots did on offense tonight, but instead of harping on the defensive shortcomings, I want to at least mention some problems with the offense that were covered up by the big numbers. On two separate occasions in the fourth quarter, the Patriots had the ball and a two-touchdown lead and didn't try running down the clock. Both drives were ended quickly and resulted in the Dolphins getting the ball back with lots of time, giving the Fish at least a chance to mount a threat. On another night against a better team that would come back to haunt the Pats, they've got the big bodies up front and a running back in Benny, who doesn't often lose yardage and more often than not picks up 4 yards. Bill's obviously smarter than me, but that bit of strategy just seems obvious. The other point, which plays off the first one, is that the offense wasn't particularly balanced. Great to see Brady throw for 500 yards, but at least last year in the playoffs, the lack of any running threat cost the Patriots that game against the Jets. The vast majority of runs tonight weren't even power runs. They were more deceptive. And it's a good point from Tony. It's something we touched on earlier in the program, but I absolutely agree with it. Look, it was a matchup thing tonight from the Patriots running backs, and I don't think that's representative of how they're going to approach it all season. In other words, I still think Green Ellis is going to be the guy who gets the bulk of the carries on this team, at least early in the season, until we see maybe Vereen or Ridley emerge. But early on, that's what I'd expect, and I just think it was a matchups thing tonight. Woodhead got a ton of the snaps in this football game. They could utilize him in the passing game. They used him on draws. They used him on screens. And for whatever reason, the Patriots decided that Woodhead was the better matchup against this Miami Dolphins defense, maybe to counter some of that speed on the other side of the football.
So is that your brain telling you that, or your heart because of your fantasy?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly hoping so for fantasy purposes, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, I do agree with the larger point from Tony, and it's that, look, the Patriots did have a chance to put this game away if they could just grind out some tough yards at the end of the game. I totally agree with that, Kevin. It's one of the things we said earlier in the program where, sure, they were slinging the ball all over the football field and Brady put up 500-plus passing yards. But, you know, for me, I just think the offense would have been better suited putting the ball on the ground, you know, really grinding out some of that clock, going to Green Ellis at that stage. I fully expected it, and they continued to air it out. And you know what? You don't want to say they got lucky on a 99-yard touchdown play, but that certainly masked a lot of things, as the emailer pointed out, Kevin. I mean, it masks when you put up a 99-yard touchdown at the end of the game, it certainly masks your issues of not being able to run the ball in the second half, grind out clock, and really put away the Dolphins.
And I mean, to me, that play call, you know, with a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter on your own half-yard line, that play call to me is suspect. And maybe you have to consider your opponent, and maybe the coaching staff did that, but I think against a better team, you probably don't get away with that. And something you mentioned earlier in the show, Adam, was their kind of ineffectiveness on the ground. I don't know if it was so much ineffectiveness or not being able to run the ball, but just a flat-out kind of, I don't want to say ignorance, but they just didn't try to run the ball. Is that a fair statement?
No.
They weren't consistent at all with trying to run the ball.
I think that's absolutely what we saw. And look, it just, Belichick was right. They put up 38 yards, and Brady threw for a franchise record passing yards. So they clearly saw something in that Miami secondary. And look, a 99-yard touchdown is going to mask a lot of that. And you're gonna have a big night passing the football when you get almost 100 yards on one play. I understand that. But, you know, for me, that was just clearly something that they saw in that Miami defense, that they could just air it out. And especially when Vontae Davis was down, we talked to Deion Branch earlier in the program. I thought that was a major turning point early in the second half. They just picked on that Dolphins secondary, and they just went back to Deion Branch over and over again. And I thought that's really when the offense got a rhythm. They continued to dictate that tempo, and they never really looked back from that point. But by the same token, you're up two touchdowns, and you can't put away the Dolphins because you can't grind it out on the ground. So, you know, it's the offense looked good, but the running game did leave something to be desired. And I do think that was more of a schematic thing because we just saw Green Ellis so de-emphasized in that rushing attack tonight. You can give us a call on the A-Ticket hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Brent in Illinois writes in. How about the reason for the passes on the goal line? And this is taking exception to my negative look at the defense, Kevin. But Brent continues, maybe because they couldn't run up the middle on that big front. The biggest issue is it's safety for the Patriots. All the long passes up the middle, a lot of those yards were in garbage time at the end. It's not doom and gloom like you were portraying. And that's Brent in Illinois writing into web radio at patriots.com. Look, all I'm saying, I'm not saying the defense is going to be terrible, but if you can't stop Chad Henne and you have question marks after not being able to stop Chad Henne, then I'm going to have question marks going into the game next week against San Diego and going up against Philip Rivers, who I know didn't light the league on fire last week in that Vikings game, or yesterday, I should say. But I don't know. None of my questions for that defense were answered. It is really where I come from. And I'm not sure what we learned in this game tonight. The offense was good. I knew that. The defense, up and down, a question mark. And it's something that's probably going to evolve over the course of the season. I feel like we knew that. Ocho, still learning the offense, knew that. Albert Haynesworth, still not sure how much he can contribute. Didn't start, wasn't in for any extended period of time in that football game. So, look, certainly, you got to be fired up about the way the offense played in this game tonight. But outside of the fact that Tom Brady's still pretty good and the Patriots' offense isn't missing a beat after this lockout, I'm still not totally sure what we learned from the Patriots' 38-24 victory in terms of something we didn't already know coming into the game, outside of the fact that, hey, maybe some of these rookies can play. Nate Solder at right tackle looked right in place. Same thing with Rozai Dowling at the corner spot. But, you know, other than that, a lot of my question marks still remain on the defense. And look, if they shut up Philip Rivers next week or shut him down, then I'll amend that. But at this point, through 1 week, you just gave up 400 passing yards to Chad Henne. So something on defense doesn't look right. Your phone number, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones here on patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll continue to hear from you, hang out on the phones, and we'll also go to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following the Patriots' 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins next here on patriots.com.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the Pats are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a Big and Toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all 5 delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is Kevin Collins with your Patriots.com scoreboard update. The Packers beat the Saints Thursday night 42-34 behind 312 yards passing and 3 scores from Aaron Rodgers. In Sunday action, Bears over the Falcons. Bengals, surprise. The Browns 27-17 despite losing starting quarterback Andy Dalton. The Bills blow out the Chiefs in Kansas City 41-7 while the Eagles throttle the Rams 31-13. The Lions top the Buccaneers 27-20 in Tampa. Cam Newton comes up just short in his NFL debut as the Panthers fall 28-21 to the Arizona Cardinals. The Chargers come 10 points down to beat the Vikings 24-17, and the 49ers take care of the Seahawks 33-17. The Redskins beat the Giants 28-14 at FedEx Field. And last night, Tony Romo's 2 fourth-quarter turnovers sealed the victory for the Jets in a 27-24 win over the Cowboys. The only game in progress right now out west between Oakland and Denver. Right now, Oakland with a 10-3 lead just before halftime. Patriots.com Radio is the official home for Patriots Playbook Tuesday through Thursday, 2 to 4 p.m. I'm Kevin Collins, and your next update comes in just 30 minutes.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
We'll get out to the podium, Tom Brady. Patriots quarterback, you'll hear from him shortly, after his record-breaking night tonight, 517 yards, 4 touchdowns. Brady did throw an interception in that game tonight, which means is, what, 358 consecutive passes attempted without an interception, and the regular season came to an end. Honestly, Kevin, I'm happy that it came to an end because it wasn't really a streak. He threw one in the postseason. So, you know, for me, I understand it's a regular season streak, but he threw that one to David Harris in the Jets game. So I'm happy it's over with because he threw one in the playoff game. Otherwise, it was a suspect record anyway for me. He already had it.
Here's the thing.
So, fine.
So I make the point upstairs to Paul Perillo that, oh, man, that was such a fluky play. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, well, you know, it was a good play by the cornerback to get in there and break that thing up, but for it to bounce right to a lineman in stride and have him start running down
right.
the field.
And what did Paul say? You know how many freaking good bounces that Brady's had in the during almost the streak, 400
I
passes?
Like, yeah. I was like, well, now that you mentioned it like that, I guess it kind of brings me down.
Exactly. Look, I'm just happy that, you know, that thing's over because he threw one in the playoffs. The playoff one counted to me. So the fact that it was a regular season record, I thought was a little foolish. Anyway, I do want to get back to the phones. 508-298-0398. That's how you get in touch on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Ronnie is in Cleveland waiting patiently. And you're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hey.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Doing excellent.
Well, first off, I want to say that I was very, you know, impressed, you know, number one, because football is back. And plus, that, you know, the pass looked on to a great start. What I want to say is that, like I say, Tom's my guy. You know, I've been a Tom Brady fan ever since the day when he took over for Drew Bledsoe.
Sure.
But this is the thing is, like I say, big game. It was a great game from him today, and I loved it. But what the Pats got to do is that those running backs, Leavenworth Head, liking Green Ellis, but
We need another playmaker. Like I say, Brady's my guy, but we can't just put it all on Brady, because if Brady sets down, then the team sets down. There's got to be somebody else on that team that just got to go out there and make that play, make that extra yard. And that's when Ocho will come in. You know, I know it's been slow right now for Ocho, but we really need him to get in the game, because going against the Jets, going against San Diego, you know, this Luis Castillo out, but still how that defense was, and also how Phillip Rivers is playing. We can't have that, you know, with Chad Henne doing something like that, because that was kind of scary to me, because I'm looking like, uh-uh, because I don't want anything to go bad like that with Phillip Rivers, and then you got Mark Sanchez, and then you got other great quarterbacks. But all in all, I would rate the offense, I would give it about an A-. The defense, I give it towards just high enough to say it's a B. But all in all, though, I just see big work. Somebody else got to be a playmaker on that team most of the time.
No, and Ronnie, it's a good point. Thanks for the phone call. I think a B is pretty generous for that defense, for starters. When Chad Henne's throwing for 400 yards, I think that's on the generous side. But I agree with your overall point that too much is on Tom Brady. Absolutely. It's something that Teddy Bruschi, I know, has talked about on ESPNBoston.com. He's talked about, look, too much is asked for Tom Brady. He has to be perfect every single game. And I'm not sure that you need somebody else on the offense to step up. I mean, I think what's left unsaid when too much is being asked from Tom Brady is that the defense needs to pick him up. I think that's what's left unsaid when you're talking about, hey, you know, Brady's had these excellent games. Who's going to step up? And for me, that's the other side of the football. Are you going to get a sack? Are you going to get a I mean, the only turnover they had in this game outside of the turnover on downs was that interception by Arrington at the tail end of the game. So, you know, for me, that's sort of what's left unsaid in that discussion. Oh, you're asking a lot out of Tom Brady. You're asking for Brady to really bail this team out time and time. Well, what does that mean? You know, that means the defense isn't bailing him out and isn't helping him out. So I don't know that Ocho is the answer to that. I think it's either the running game or the defense to step up. And, you know, when I sit here and say, look, what did we learn about this team that we didn't know from the preseason? I honestly feel that way. You know, I felt that the offense would come out and have a strong season. I felt that before I even saw a preseason game. And I was going to have questions about this defense. And if anything, it's a little worse than I thought when Chad Henne's throwing for 400 yards and they're marching up and down the field. So if anything, it's probably a little worse than I thought, if you want an answer. And as for Ocho Cinco, just to continue to touch on that point, because it's a place where everybody's going to go, and deservedly so. If you think that Brady and Ocho are progressing nicely, then why isn't he on the field? Why isn't he out there in those two wide receiver sets? You know, so for anybody who's still in that camp, and I know they're starting to dwindle, but for anybody who's still in that camp, you know, for me, proof was in the pudding tonight. It was Welker and Branch out there in two wide receiver sets. And I was confident, and this is something that I did on the show throughout the week and even late last week going into this first game, I was confident that Deion Branch wasn't going to skip a beat. The guy wasn't here for years, came right back, and it was like he never left with Tom Brady. The connection they have is something special, and it's something we talked about with Deion a little earlier in the post-game show when he joined us live from the Patriots locker room after their 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. And you saw it. It was so apparent at the beginning of the second half when he had five catches in that short period of time in those first couple of drives of the second half. It's just you can see the connection he has with Brady and the difference that makes compared to Chad Ochocinco, one catch, three targets, couple of bobbles, and that one killer penalty. Now, look, the Patriots wound up scoring anyway. But that was just a total brain fart by Chad Ochocinco. I hope that summed up his adjustment to this offense. He's still not comfortable in the offense. He's lining up in the wrong spot. He's negating 35-yard plays. That's what he's been doing for you in this game tonight. So, again, Ocho, yell at Bill all you want. You know, but for me, it's pretty apparent that right now Welker and Branch are your guys in two wide receiver sets. They should be. And honestly, the two wide receivers, two tight ends, that worked excellent for you tonight. You put up 38 points, so why screw with that, with the night that Hernandez had and Gronkowski had and Branch? Well, again, to me, you don't need Chad Ochocinco in this offense. I think at some point, you know, he'll be a luxury, and he's something that you can adjust and add to this offense. You know, but for me, he's not something you need, and if he doesn't work out, no harm, no foul, because you saw what you can do against what I think is a pretty good Miami defense. Continue to hear from you. H Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We'll also get to some emails, webradio@patriots.com. Right now, I want to go to the podium where we hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, 517 yards plus four touchdowns in that victory over the Dolphins tonight.
Well, it was a good night in that sense. I thought we executed pretty well at times. Look, it's a team sport, man. I mean, those guys were catching the ball, making some great plays. Aaron, Gronk, Chad, Dion, West. There was a lot of tough looks out there that we got, and guys really stayed aware of the situations, and we made enough plays to win. That's the goal. I mean, we were coming down here to win, and this is always a tough place to play. It felt like the game was about 6 hours long, so, you know, we got a short week coming up, and got to get home tonight and start getting to work on San Diego.
How much are you going to miss your center, Colbert?
Yeah, that's tough, man. He's the best. There's no one like him. I think he and I have a great chemistry between the two of us. We always have, and he's one of my great friends, and hopefully he's back at some point.
How would you describe the pace at which you guys played offense, and how much do you enjoy that style of play?
Well, it's a fine line between, you know, putting pressure on the defense and playing out of control. And I thought at times we did both. And you never really want to play out of control on offense. But it was a good pace at times. Gave them some problems, but other times they adjusted to it. And, you know, we gotta find ways to execute better at times also.
How much did you enjoy that? Just the idea of putting pressure on.
Going fast? I enjoy scoring points, so whatever the hell we need to do to score points, that's what I enjoy doing. Sometimes we go fast, sometimes we go slow. It's just a matter of, you know, what the point of the drive is, how we're trying to execute, and ultimately trying to get the ball in the end zone.
What was different tonight? What was different tonight about the other nights? Miami gives you a tough game sometimes. Tonight, you had a record performance.
I'd say it was a tough game. I wouldn't say it was easy at all. I just thought we made enough plays out there, some exceptional plays by in the passing game by some of those receivers making catches, and the offensive line did an incredible job. Cameron Wake, I mean, he's one of the best pass rushers in the league. Jason Taylor, he's an incredible player. You know, it's a very good defensive line, athletic group of linebackers, good secondary. I thought, you know, they made some plays on us. We made a few more than them.
That protection you got, especially with some backups in there.
Yeah. Well, I think they did a great job protecting. And there's a lot of communication that goes on between quarterback and the offensive line. And for new guys being in there, I thought the communication was good, especially on the road, the first game of the year, a lot of silent count. I thought it was great communication. That was a great positive for tonight.
Did you scheme the middle, or did you pick that up in the middle of the game? They seemed to be leaving you a lot of space in there for the tight ends, and a couple times you had some of your wide guys in there too.
Yeah, well, I think it's as an offense, we're trying to throw it where they're not. So sometimes it's heavy in the middle and you throw it outside. Sometimes it's heavy on the outside, you throw it inside. I mean, we're always trying to take advantage of whatever we see, and I think we have enough guys in the passing game that can exploit different areas of the defense. So every defense has a strength and weakness, and offensively we're trying to find that weakness and execute, you know, at a high level against it.
What did you see on the touchdown pass? Supposed to be a possession receiver. Did you envision him having a 99-yarder in him?
That was pretty awesome. And I saw him break away, and I mean, it was awesome. You know, coach never lets us run that route in practice because he's like, I'm sick of Welker running, you know, seam routes. Like, I don't want to see that. All training camp, that's all we heard. So hopefully we won't have to hear that again for a while.
Did you check on that? And did you say, if I hit this, it might go?
You never know when it's going to go. I mean, it was man-to-man. Wes ran a great route. I threw it. He made a hell of a catch and a hell of a run after catch. I mean, I only threw it 25 yards. It wasn't like I threw it 99 yards. I mean, West did all the work. I just had to put it out there for him.
Tom, do you remember the last time that you've been taking a snap from someone other than Copen?
It's been a long time. I mean, we're certainly going to miss him. But at the same time, other guys have to step in and do the job. I mean, I think that's part of what this game's all about, is other guys stepping in when they're called upon and executing just like Cope would be in there, and hopefully we get him back at some point. Last question.
How much did fatigue play a role in the success tonight? The Dolphins, obviously, a lot of guys cramping out of the game, and how did you guys get in such great shape during camp, because the weather conditions clearly in South Florida are different.
Well, we were pretty fatigued, too. I think it goes both ways. There was a couple times where all the receivers were looking over at the sideline like, give me a break. So, you know, it's hot. I mean, you see, we're still hot. But we tried to play at a fast tempo and take advantage of some of the opportunities that we got when they weren't ready to go. And I thought we did a decent job of that. So
thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Patriots quarterback Tom Brady from the podium. Kevin,
classic,
Kevin, you just heard it there. It was the conditions. It was clearly that, you know, the conditions were getting to the Miami Dolphins. That's what it was.
That was classic. And that last question thing really threw me. Usually it's our, you know, press relations guru, Stacey James, stepping in there to moderate and say last question. But Tom was his own PR coordinate. It was great. He did everything.
That was Brady saying that?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't know about that one, Kevin.
I'll go back and review the tape while you
do
keep blabbing.
You go back and you review that tape. Clearly it was all about the conditions. As Brady was asked there at the end of that. Not so sure about that one. But a couple of the takeaways from Tom Brady that I do think was interesting. You heard him talking about that tempo and the way the Patriots controlled the middle of the field. And I just think that was so apparent when the Patriots were getting the football to Hernandez specifically and Gronkowski in that first half. And again, the way the Patriots utilized the tight ends for me, I just thought was that balance and the adjustments they made over the course of the game where it was Gronkowski early and then Hernandez, I thought that showed you how this offense is getting to another level and a comfort level within the offense with really exploiting those tight end matchups. And those guys aren't rookies anymore. And you see Brady getting more comfortable, especially with Hernandez. I thought watching this team in the preseason, that just jumped right off the screen at you, is how comfortable he is with Aaron Hernandez. And that was an adjustment that in the second half, they went to Hernandez much more over the final 30 minutes of that ball game. And, you know, for me, they controlled the middle of the field and they controlled the tempo really right from the get-go, Kevin. And I cited this a lot, but I just thought it was a major turning point in that game when Vontae Davis went out. The Patriots really just started picking on that Dolphins secondary, started picking on some of the substitutions, and really just went at it and didn't give the Dolphins a chance to breathe. And that's when that game started to turn for me early in that second half. And you saw that, and it was the way that Brady and the offense really dictated the tempo, dictated the pace.
Yeah, that was that Deion Branch drive we were talking about earlier in the game. And I think it was Gruden who pointed out, Adam, during the game, there was a key third down.
That was before or after he cursed, Kevin. What was that?
There was a lot of cursing going on. Julian Edelman must have dropped like four F-bombs that you could hear on returns tonight. But I think it was Gruden who pointed out, you know, watch the top of the screen because Branch was one-on-one, and they were just undressing.
No, it was Gruden. I know the play you're talking about where he said, watch the top of the screen.
He hit him for like a 25-yard slant.
Absolutely. And look, I tried to find a way to sneak it into, you know, the good list at the beginning of the game, right? Like, I tried to find a way to say, hey, Deion Branch, that chemistry, but Brady's chemistry was excellent with everyone. Ocho Cinco aside. Yeah, I just saw that 63-yard
field goal for Sebastian Janikowski as Oakland takes a 16-3 lead over Denver.
Yeah,
in Denver.
You know what that is? A kick square in the nuts, by the way, Kevin. I'm going against Gostkowski in fantasy, or excuse me.
As am I.
You and I going against Janikowski.
Must have drafted the same team.
Yeah, well, that means you're probably going to lose this week, just like myself. So that was a real kick right square in the nuts, Janikowski. But continuing with that thought, I mean, I thought Brady's chemistry with Branch was obviously good, but it was so good with all those receivers. Welker, Gronkowski, Hernandez, you know, so for me, the lockout didn't skip a beat with any of those guys comfortable in that offense. You didn't see that come back to strike any of those guys. Let's continue with some of those emails, webradio@patriots.com. Guys, glad to see the win. Defense has questions for sure. Rivers next week with Gates and company will be tougher than tonight, and to win, the defense needs to play better. You aren't being too harsh on that Patriots defense. And look, I agree. And that was Jay who wrote onto Web Radio at Patriots.com. If you don't have questions about this defense after that game, like what questions were answered? If you came in with questions about this defense, what questions were answered after 1 week? I know they won. But are you sitting there going, man, they showed me they can rush the passer, or they showed me they can get off the field on third down, or they showed me they could turn it over, or they showed me they can contain a mediocre quarterback and chat. Like, did they show you any of those things? Did they answer any of those things? So I understand we've been harping on it a little bit, and that's fine. But, you know, for me, I don't think we're being overly negative by focusing in on that aspect of the game. Like, if we're going to compliment the offense for being awesome and say, look, I thought the offense would be good, and I thought the offense would pile up points, well, we're going to ask questions about the defense. When they give up 400 passing yards to Chad Henne, I don't know how that's not an obvious place to look after this game. Yeah, the offense was great, but they struggled to put away the Dolphins because the defense struggled to get off the field and because they couldn't run in that second half. Sean writes into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Adam, here's what I think we learned Solder and Rozier are solid. Ridley and Vereen need to play. The offense is unstoppable when the call is right and the O-line gives Brady time. Otherwise, they struggle to move the football and run the same play too much like they have in the last few seasons. The defense is not who we thought they were, continues Sean, meaning we got all excited against Tampa Bay. And look, I'll put myself right on top of that list. I was giddy on the Patriots postgame show following that victory over the Tampa Bay Bucks. Sean continues, Phillip Rivers is throwing for 400 yards next week, and Matt Slater will get a chance to be the deep threat that the Patriots need, wondering why in 5 years he hasn't been tried there. And look, I think those are all solid points, though I would say a couple of those we already know.
He was tried there last year.
No, I mean, I would say a couple of those we already know. Like the offense, when they give Brady time, they're going to be able to pick things apart. The defense isn't who we thought they were. That was a question I had coming in, and Rivers should be able to pick them apart. But in terms of the rookies, he's absolutely right. And that's one takeaway for me, where you look at it and you say, well, Solder had more than a stellar night. Held his own. And outside of that one drive at the end of the first half.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
Yeah, exactly. Where Wake could pin his ears back and really get after the quarterback. You know, for me, that was the one drive where Solder was a little shaky. He had that hold. He gave up the sack, which may have been more coverage than it was actually on Nate Solder. But I thought it was just a stellar night for him. For the most part, you forgot he was at right tackle. And Rozier Dowling, same way. Guy flashed a couple of times in the secondary, got the start at cornerback while Lee Bodden's in the slot. If that's how your defense lines up, and if Rozier can be solid on the outside, I thought it was an up-and-down night for Devin McCourty. But he's going against a pretty damn good receiver, Brandon Marshall. And, you know, for me, I think if that's the kind of physical secondary that you're going to, that's the kind of tone you're going to try to set, that's going to free up some of those guys on the defensive line, or in the front seven at least, to get after the quarterback. So I do think being physical in that secondary is something this Patriot, it could be a major boon in terms of the pass rush. And I think those two are going to work hand in hand. You know, just like the pass rush can force some bad throws, I think you jam those guys up and you're a little more physical with big, stout players like Devin McCourty and Rozier Dowling, who's 6'1". If you're jamming up receivers, you're going to give those guys the extra fraction of a second, the extra half second, to get after the quarterback like Chad Henne tonight. And I also think Matt Slater, just look, we've seen him flash enough times in the preseason with those balls downfield. And Kevin, him and Brady just misconnected or just misconnecting on another one late in the second half. Yeah. So I don't know, 46-yard reception for Matt Slater. We saw it in each of the last two preseason games, yep. Kevin. I'm not saying all of a sudden he's Randy Moss and he's your answer to your deep threat, but how is he any better or worse than Brandon Tate?
Well, I mean, those of you who maybe aren't geeks like me that hang on every single play. Last year, I don't know if anybody remembers, but they definitely took a few shots to Slater, definitely in that Minnesota game where Brandon Tate actually, ironically, did make that huge play on the broken play. Much like tonight, they must have seen something in that Minnesota defense that said, hey, we're going to try to throw the deep ball, and they did give him a few shots to go down the field and get it. Didn't work out like it did tonight, but I have a feeling you haven't seen the last of Slater in that receiver role, not only that, but in special teams.
No, I mean, I just think when you see him flash enough, and you see him flash a couple of times, including in the preseason, I don't know. For me, people are like, oh, well, you know, you lose that deep threat and the guy who could take the top off the defense and Brandon I don't know. I mean, Matt Slater's done that to me as much as Brandon Tate
Brandon
ever
Tate
has.
Brandon Tate was never in the lineup enough.
So, you know, for me, I just, if that's all you're looking for is a guy who, you know, defense has to respect to some extent
and you and
as
I,
just a speed guy going down the field. Look, I'm not saying he's going to be anything special. But I just think if he could add that extra dimension and be that speed guy who can get behind the defense and get behind the safety and keep him honest, I think he's showed that. He's shown that in two preseason games and then the opener tonight with the 46-yard catch.
Not to toot our own horns here, Pac, but, you know, we did say on this air a couple weeks ago that, hey, he had done enough to surpass Tate and that he would replace Tate on this roster. And boom, there he is. He makes the team and makes an impact play in game one. And at the time he made that play, the Patriots were behind. And it sort of, I don't know if you agree with this, but it sort of got the night rolling. I mean, that kind of set the table for the rest of that drive.
No, I mean, I think I just wanted to make sure, because I had forgotten to mention him, and I just wanted to make sure after reading the email, we at least threw his name out there. He had that big reception on that first drive for the New England Patriots. It helped set it up.
46 yards, I think.
46 yards.
Most importantly, he's a friend of the show, too.
Just a strike from Tom Brady, like a perfect throw from Tom Brady on that opening drive, and they went back to him late in the game. It's worth mentioning, certainly over the course of the post-game show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Adam Jones and Kevin Collins here on Patriots.com. Here's how you get in touch. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or emails to webradio@patriots.com. Keith in Dallas, Texas writes in, guys, Bill Belichick is the master at showing us what he wants us to see. obviously, we as fans want the defense to make plays all the time, but the reality is sometimes the scheme doesn't call for a quarterback sack or bringing pressure. Here's an example. Albert Haynesworth draws holding penalties when going at full speed because he has such an overwhelming presence on the defensive line. Last time I checked, that's better than a sack because the offense loses 10 yards. This defense will get better as the season progresses, but I do think they'll bring in sharper, or they'll be sharper, excuse me, by week four. And if he's still out there, Keith adds, because the elite quarterbacks will kill Josh Barrett with looking him off. So he throws in a little barb at Barrett at the end of that email. Look, I just think that for me, any questions I had about the defense just weren't answered tonight. I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know, that's the way I look at this tonight for the New England Patriots. He gave up 400 yards through the air to the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, they struggled on third downs last season. And in this game tonight, pretty good. 2 for 14 on third down. They were 4 for 5. The Dolphins were on fourth down. But they did make some strides, at least, on third down defense. And that's a fair point. And that's where Mike wrote in to webradio@patriots.com and pointed those statistics out to us and said, look, 6 for 19 between third and fourth down, pretty good performance. They also pressured Henny consistently. I do disagree with that last part. I don't know if consistently is the word I'd use to pressure Chad Henne. And I said this right off the bat. I think it was a nice night for Chad Henne, but I don't want to sit here and say, you know, it took him 50 passes to get 400 yards. So I do think the 400 yards is misleading. I will at least concede that point. That said, still a lot of questions on the defensive side of the football. Can they turn it over? They had one in the last couple of seconds of the game, a pick at the end of that game. You know, can they consistently pressure a quarterback? I don't know that that was answered tonight. And again, I don't know that consistently is the word I'd use in terms of the pressure they put on Chad Henne. Again, you can get in touch, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Ronnie in Ohio. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's going on, Ronnie?
All right, back again. Got another question.
Sure.
This is where I'm standing at with the defense right now. By week 7, I want to know, where will we be at in sacks, and also where will we be at in defense, like you said about bringing in consistently pass rushing, because we really need it. That's something that we haven't had in a long time. You know, the last time that I, like, really saw consistent pass rushers was back then. That's when Mike and Teddy, you know, was playing back then. But ever since then, we just haven't had a consistent pass rush. Like, we'd do good on first down. We'd do good on second down. When it comes that good old third down, then they make that play. Boom, we're back, going back again. Then they make it to the goal line. Then they score. My question is, now with Haynesworth coming down and leading, and then seeing with the Jets how they run the ball, I was just wondering, will we be like a real force down there in that 4-3 defense, and will quarterbacks be feared when they get ready to play?
Well, I mean, Ronnie, the way I would frame it is I don't think so. I haven't seen anything that would tell you that outside of one preseason game against Tampa Bay, that this is going to be a feared defense that pressures quarterbacks. I haven't seen any of that. I certainly didn't see any of that tonight. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. But, I mean, what would you go on that leads you to that conclusion other than one game in the preseason against Tampa Bay? Like, what else do you have to go on? Detroit picked them apart in the only other game where the starters really played consistently against another team's starters, and then this game tonight in a game that actually counted. So, no, I don't have any expectation for that. Can the defense be better this season than last? Can they be better on third down? Can they pressure the quarterback? Well, sure, I think they can be better in all of those categories, but how much worse could they have been from last season? So, you know, I expect this defense to be better, and I expect it to get better over the course of the season. And I would argue we saw that with the defense last year as well, and that tends to be a staple of these Belichick coach defenses. They do improve over the course of the season. That may be a bit of a cliche, but I would expect that from the Patriots defense over the course of the year. But certainly third down defense is an area where you can look at it and say, you know what? They played pretty good tonight on third down, and they were able to get off the field. Not on fourth down, but on third down, the team did a pretty decent job getting off the field tonight. And if you want to look at that and say, hey, that's progress, more power to you. You know, I just get caught up on the fact that the Dolphins were still hanging around at the end of that game. They were on the half-yard line with just an atrocious play call from Tony Sperano, and then you're looking at a one-possession game if they're able to score from a half-yard out, and I just think that kind of changes the tone with the defense as well. And I guess an optimist would look at it and say, hey, the Patriots got the stop. I don't really know what the defense did on that play. It was an awful throw from Henne and a poor play call from Sperano
I mean, Dowling was written as shorts, but like you said, it was a terrible throw on top of a terrible play call.
I mean,
at least
give the guy a chance to make a play on it. And you're right, Dowling was there. I mean, Dowling was in close pursuit and coverage.
It's not like he fell down and, you know, Henny just overthrew the guy.
You know, but for me, that play, that was a major turning point in the game. You're talking about a one possession game at that point, and the Dolphins hanging around, and maybe the game looks a lot different. 508-298-0398. It's how you get in touch on the Ace Ticket Hotline with the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Let's go to Eddie down in Florida. You're next up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Doing well, man.
You know, I understand that Henny had over 400 yards passing, but like the last caller said, I don't think the Patriots will ever be a top-notch defense. I understand that perfectly, but I can't see the Patriots becoming a very good timely defense. You know what I mean? I can see, yeah. I can see them become a very good timely defense. At times,
you're saying situationally? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. I can see them become a very good situational defense. Let's be honest, man. They're going to give up their yards. But I can't see the Patriots becoming a very good situational defense. I think next week, I think NFC flashes them improving. But I think that this football team can become a very good situational team on defense. You know, a lot of teams in the NFL this week, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of good football teams, the Jets gave up a lot of yards, the Steelers gave up a lot of yards.
Sure.
I can see that, you know, maybe they're filling teams out, you know, first week, you know. They didn't get the train. They didn't get, you know, the mini cams.
Well, and Eddie, I think on that side of the ball for the Patriots, there's some merit to that as well, right? They're installing a whole new defense, and there's
exactly,
a lot of new personnel
exactly.
on that side of the football. So if you want to say give them time, fine. I don't disagree with that. But, you know,
I still think that, yeah, we're feeling guys out still. You know what I mean? I still don't think that a lot of guys on the field right now are going to be permanently on there. You never know.
No, and Eddie, I agree with that. Thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's how you get in touch with the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I mean, that I agree with. It's going to take time. Not even necessarily coming out of the lockout. I mean, forget that, but just installing a new defense, a 4-3 defense with a lot of new personnel, that would have taken time with mini camps and training camps and a full off season. So I do understand that. But, you know, for me, certainly none of those questions were answered. And that's something I was looking for. That's something I wanted to see against Chad Henne and Reggie Bush, you know, and Brian Hartline, you know, guys like this. Anthony Fasano made play after play up the seam over the course of the night. Brandon Marshall can play. That's a guy who he puts up 100 yards and you go, okay, I get it. You know, Brandon Marshall's a good player. I understand. You know, but some of those other guys who had big nights, that it gives me pause, especially when you're going into the game next week against the San Diego Chargers, an explosive offense, a true elite quarterback in Phillip Rivers. I don't know how you can't have some questions about that defense. But if you want to start on third down and say, look, they were able to get off the field to some extent on third down, though, again, they gave up a number of fourth down conversions in that football game. Fine. If you want to look at it and say, hey, on that last drive, they were able to pressure Henny a little bit more. Fine. I mean, I guess that's one way of looking at it. But for me, they didn't put the Dolphins away defensively or running out the clock at the end of the game. And that's a concern when you can't put away what I think is, at best, a middle-of-the-pack offense. And that would be accomplishing something for that Dolphins club. That's a concern going into the San Diego game. Or concern may be too strong of a word. It's at least a question mark. And, again, the defense is something that I expect to improve over the course of the season. But situationally, you know, can they come up with stops at the end of the game? Can they come up with key turnovers at the end of the game? That was something that I heard all last year about that Patriots defense. Yeah, they give up a lot of yards, but they make plays when they have to. You think back to the end of the Colts game. You think back to the end of the Chargers game. You know, that's what I heard about that defense a lot last year, and it didn't end so well for them. So I'm less interested. Exactly, Kevin. I'm less interested in, you know, situationally making those plays. Sure, I'll take it. But, you know, you want to see this defense come out, and you want to see them dominate, and you want to see them pressure the quarterback and not let a guy like Chad Henne throw over 400 yards. I don't think that's too much to ask from the New England Patriots, who did take care of the Miami Dolphins 38-24 in their season opener to start the year 1-0. They will be taking on the San Diego Chargers here in Foxborough in their home opener a little less than a week from tonight. We'll continue to hear from you on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com, and we'll continue to answer that question. Or at least investigate that defense. Do you still have major questions as it pertains to that Patriots defense. I do, and we'll get into it next on Patriots.com.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
That sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !!!! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all 5 delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donut stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is Kevin Collins with your Patriots.com scoreboard update. The Bills blew out the Chiefs yesterday 41-7 in Kansas City. The Eagles throttled the Rams 31-13. The Ravens spanked the Steelers 35-7. And the Texans absolutely murdered the Colts 34-7 in Terry Collins' debut. Cam Newton comes up just a little bit short in his NFL debut with the Carolina Panthers falling 28-21 to the Cardinals. The Chargers come from 10 points down to beat the Vikings 24-17. The Redskins beat the Giants 28-14 at FedEx Field. Last night, Tony Romo's 2 fourth-quarter turnovers sealed a victory for the Jets. The final there, 27-24 in a win over the Cowboys. The only game in progress right now is out west between Oakland and Denver. Currently, Oakland holds a 16-10 lead over the Broncos. Just starting the third quarter there. Patriots.com radio is the official home of the Pete Shepherd Show. Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. I'm Kevin Collins, and your next update comes in just 30 minutes.
This is Patriots kicker Steven Gostkowski, and you're listening to the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio.
About 15 minutes left here on the Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones, Kevin Collins with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium following the Patriots' 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. And look, just to reset it up, tee it back up, just ticking you through some of the good that came out of this New England Patriots victory. I thought Tom Brady, obviously, has to be at the head of that list. And it's bigger than just Tom Brady with the 517 yards and the four touchdowns. It's bigger than that. It's the chemistry that he had with four of his top receivers. And I thought Branch was right at the top of that list. Welker wasn't far behind, though he was padded by one huge play in the game. And also the tight ends, who were another good in their own. When you talk about Rob Gronkowski being a major target in the first half with six catches, 86 yards and a touchdown, Aaron Hernandez, most of his targets coming in the second half, seven catches, 103 yards and a touchdown. So for me, it wasn't just about the chemistry with those receivers. It was also the tempo. It was the way they dominated the middle of that field, kept the chains moving. It was just an off-the-charts night for Brady and the tight end specifically.
And I hate to rain on your parade here, but Gronk's biggest play of the night was called back to a it was an illegal formation.
No, it was the Ocho play. No, absolutely.
So he could have had an even more ginormous night if it weren't for that penalty.
That was a 35-yard play.
Yeah,
that got called back. Now look, it didn't hurt the Patriots. They wound up scoring anyway, and it was Gronkowski who actually got in the end zone on that drive.
But it hurt my boy Gronk's stats.
Yeah, well that's true. And it's just that it certainly didn't help Ocho Cinco and his acclimation into the offense, and we'll get into that in a second. The other guy who I really thought held his own and was on my good list tonight, Nate Solder. And the fact that he didn't stand out in any noticeable way outside of that last drive at the end of the first half where Cameron Wake was able to beat Solder for a hold and then beat him for a sack later on. And I still think that was as much on Brady and the receivers as it was on Solder specifically, a coverage sack, if you will. But I thought Nate Solder, if you had any fears about him, he showed that he can play and he showed that he can man that right side and you'll be all set. Same thing with Connolly, honestly, in the middle, taking over for Dan Copen. All of those were positive signs on the offensive line. You know, the negatives for me, I just think it's so dispiriting. And a microcosm of the night, representative of the night, when you're talking about this defense, this new-look defense, this 4-3 defense, how are they going to pressure the quarterback? Are they going to pull out all – is it going to be this major schematic change, and is this defense going to grow by leaps and bounds? We certainly didn't see that tonight, and it started right on the opening drive. 12 plays, 84 yards, marched it right down your throat. Reggie Bush – pretty big factor on that opening drive. And the Dolphins wind up punching it in after a fourth down conversion earlier in the drive by Hilliard. Chad Henne runs it in from 9 yards out. And I just thought that got the game not only started on the right foot, but set a pretty negative tone for the defense throughout the night. And they were solid by halftime. It was still the only points on the board by halftime. But you saw that, you know, the Dolphins could bring it right down the field. And they gave them confidence coming out of the gate. And I thought that lingered into the second half. So that was obviously the wrong way to start the football game. I also thought Ocho Cinco and his lack of chemistry with Brady, the fact that he can't crack those two wide receiver sets, I think all of those are an indictment on some level of Ocho Cinco. One catch, three targets, and Kevin just talked about it. So what if he's not catching the football? But don't hurt the team when you're out there by just lining up in the wrong spot. And that's exactly what Ocho did tonight. It's precisely what he did tonight. You know, so for me, if Ocho Cinco is just not going to catch balls, fine. If he's just not going to catch passes and he's going to catch one out of every three passes thrown his way, fine. That's fine with me. But if he's also hurting you with penalties, that's something that you're not going to be able to live with. And fortunately, the Patriots were still able to wind up with some points out of that drive. And the final one, we got an email about this earlier asking if I'm concerned about him, and I wouldn't go that far. But Steven Gostkowski tonight on my bad list. Missed a field goal. There was a chance to, you know, get some points on the board going into halftime. Give yourself a two-score lead going into halftime instead of just that one touchdown lead. And you got the ball to start the second half. Exactly, Kevin. So I just think, look, do I have any big picture concerns about Gostkowski? No, that's too harsh. But he didn't have a good night tonight.
It was a momentum killer.
That missed field goal was a missed opportunity is what it was. You know, so for me, that's the way I look at it with Gostkowski. And that was my good and my bad. The big injury for the Patriots tonight, obviously Dan Copen. And you know, you wonder how the Patriots are going to fare with that going forward. And I think it's a blow, but I think they showed tonight that they can plug guys in on this offensive line. Dante Scarnecchia knows how to coach them up. He's been doing it for a while here in New England. And you didn't notice Solder just like you didn't notice Connolly once he went into the game in place of Copen. You know, so for me, that speaks volumes about Dante Scarnecchia and how he coaches these guys up and gets them ready to play. You can get in touch with the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Did want to hit on some of these emails. David writes in from Venezuela to webradio@patriots.com. And this is something we were touching on just a few minutes ago. David says, hey, it's great to see the offense perform at a high level. However, that was expected, especially with Gronk and Hernandez with 1 year of experience under their belts. Here's the big question about the defense, writes David. Can they put pressure and make the stop when it counts? I think that's what's missing. Last year, most games the Patriots played with the lead, which led to the defense not being challenged enough to hold on to a one-possession lead or make a key stop. This may be one of the answers to playoff success. For instance, look at the Jets and making stops in the playoff game against Indianapolis last season, or making Romo uncomfortable in last night's game. Last Thursday, look at the Packers stopping the Saints twice on 4th-and-1. And again, I don't know if you want to call those outright stops, just like I don't know that I want to call what the Patriots did tonight and that Brian Hartline play in the end zone on 4th-and-a-half-yard a quote-unquote stop. Like, yeah, they got the stop, but I think that had as much to do with an incompetent offense as it did with a competent defense. But continuing with the email, being put in those situations will definitely help prepare the defense for a tight playoff game. Winning by 10 points or 3 touchdowns is easy, but it's all about learning how to win tight games. And again, that's David in Venezuela writing into webradio@patriots.com. And it's going back to that idea of situational defense for the New England Patriots. And will they improve in that regard this season? And I still think that's one of those things that we didn't learn. I mean, Kevin, they had a chance to put Miami away in the second half of this game. And I think the offense takes some of the blame there in a weird way. With all the yards they were putting up, they were getting quick scores, which meant the defense was staying out on the field. They couldn't run. They couldn't put the Dolphins away with any semblance of a running game. So for me, yes, the defense let the Dolphins hang around, but I think the offense played into that a little bit as well.
But here's the thing. Is it the offensive execution allowing that to happen, or is it the play calling? Is it lining up in the shotgun empty backfield with two scores up and still slinging it?
Well, I think a lot of that was the game plan. I see where you're going
because,
with that.
Because here's the thing. If the Patriots offense and those offensive linemen were asked to kill the game by running the football ground and pound with Ben Jarvis Green,
so what I'm telling you is that I don't think that's what they did.
No, they weren't. But what I'm saying is if that's what they were asked to do, and they didn't execute, and they were getting stuffed for 2 yard losses, fine. But I think a little bit of this has to go on, you know, this is what the game plan was, and no matter what the score was, they weren't going to deviate from the game plan.
No, and I think it was clear that Danny Woodhead is the matchup the coaches favored. That was beyond clear. He had 30-something snaps in the first half compared to less than 10 for Woodhead.
Unfortunate for our fantasy squads.
Green Ellis. Yeah, and look, I'm not worried about that. Trust me, not worried about that.
You're not about the stats?
But I just think that was just such a clear matchup thing tonight against the Miami Dolphins.
I do not care about the numbers.
And for me, I don't think that's something that's going to be the case going forward. In other words, like I still think you're going to see more. You'll see Green Ellis featured at various points, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But tonight, the game plan was Woodhead, and it's part of the reason why they didn't run out the clock and didn't go to Green Ellis to churn out yards at the end of the game. But that is, you don't want to call it a red flag, but that's something that raised my antenna a little bit in the second half. Patriots couldn't put the game away, couldn't run out the clock. And I do think that's something he did a lot last year, Kevin. I thought that's an area where Green Ellis excelled last year.
I would agree with that. And here's the thing. We may get to see if they can execute that game plan, Adam, against maybe a little bit better team who play a different style. Their game plan may call for running the ball a little bit more in that situation.
And look, I guess the way I look at it, and part of this is on the defense. More of it's on the defense. But while we're talking about the offense, let's stick with this. I don't know. If you let Phillip Rivers hang around down 2 scores and you can't run out the clock, what does that mean? You know, are you going to escape like you did with the Dolphins tonight?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know either, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as what we saw.
No, I wouldn't want to mess with Phillip Rivers and Vincent Jackson and Antonio Gates stretching you vertically with Floyd. You know, I don't know if I would want to play that game. As compared to with Chad Henne. And I'm not blasting Chad Henne. I think he played a pretty decent game tonight. I don't think he was the reason the Dolphins lost.
No.
I think the reason the Dolphins lost is because their defense couldn't get off the field and they gave up a ton of points. I mean, I don't think it was Chad Henne's fault.
No, and look, I think, you know, the first place you go with this Patriots team, post-lockout, offense didn't skip a beat. Offense was able to pile up points, rack up yards. They did it on their first two drives to start the game. They did it to start the second half as well. And it was after the Brady interception, they were able to answer right back with three straight touchdown drives after the Brady interception. So I think you saw that team excel early on in each of the halves, which I think tells you a lot about how they can execute coming out of the locker room and tells you that this offense should be able to pile up points all season. And, you know, when I say that I don't know what we learned about the offense, I mean, I guess it's set in stone that now, okay, they are not going to skip a beat after the lockout. And I guess I wasn't 100% sold on that, but I certainly assumed it. I certainly assumed that they'd be able to score points and that Branch and Brady weren't going to miss a beat post-lockout. Same thing with Welker, and that the tight ends would continue to progress. I guess those are all things that I assumed, but that we did learn tonight. And I guess that's one place you can go here on the Patriots.com post-game show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You get in touch on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. You know, I do look at the way Rozai Dowling played, and I know we've spent more time talking about Nate Solder, but I do look at the way Rozai Dowling played, and not that he had the immediate impact that Devin McCourty had last season in that first game, but you do get a little bit of that sense with Rozai Dowling, Kevin, where last year, game one, McCourty's lined up, and you saw more of it in the preseason because he wasn't dinged up, but all of a sudden you're sitting there going, okay, McCourty is... He's a guy who could be a lockdown corner for a couple of years if he progresses, and he progressed a lot faster than we expected.
Yep.
I'm not saying Dowling's quite in that category yet, but the fact that he's starting, yeah. I don't think that's just a matchup thing. That's one thing that I know caught a lot of people off guard. And same thing with Barrett in the secondary. The Patriots threw a bit of a curveball with the guys they started in the secondary, and for me, Dowling was a lot more promising tonight.
Yeah. I mean, let's also touch on the fact that, like, you know, Dowling for me a few times at him flashed, like, especially on that 4th-and-1 that we were talking about. Like, okay, it was a bad call. It was a badly thrown ball, but he made the play that was asked of him. For me, the most depressing part of the defense were the guys that we considered locks, like guys that Jerod Mayo, Devin McCourty, that you have penciled in as starters, and not only starters, but potential Pro Bowlers. And it's like, I didn't really see all that much.
No, so look, for me, Mayo, I wonder with Spikes not being a part of that defense, I wonder if that tempers how they're going to let Mayo loose. In other words, you know, we saw Mayo as a real wild man in that Tampa Bay game when he could roam free and he was an outside. He didn't have to be in the middle of that 4-3 defense. So, you know, you wonder if getting somebody like Spikes back in the middle
Kraft
of that defense.
And Mayo go together.
Exactly. So you wonder if getting him back in the middle of that defense, if that'll help free Jerod Mayo up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little bit of a concern to me to see the guys that I thought, okay, these guys are a lot, like even Lee Bodden get beat a few times
tonight.
Yeah,
he was beat on that first touchdown. He would have been beat on the best touchdown.
It was a little disconcerting to see those guys that you pencil in as, like, you know, starting playmakers.
Here's one of the things I've been saying is that, you know, Devin McCourty, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of regression from McCourty this season because he was so good last year. I've been telling you that. I wouldn't be surprised. And I know we spent some time talking about that after the Lions game when, you know, he really struggled in coverage against a great receiver, Calvin Johnson, but struggled in coverage in that game. And he struggled on Burleson as well in that game against the Lions. And we're seeing him struggle against Brandon Marshall tonight. I told you that, though. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of a sophomore slump out of Devin McCourty. So maybe I didn't have him penciled in for, you know, the same type of season as some people. But certainly an up-and-down night for McCourty. He dropped that interception in the end zone where Pat Chung got a hand in on it as well. But an up-and-down night from him. Not a lock-solid night, but I think up-and-down is the best you can say about a lot of the guys on defense tonight for the New England Patriots. By the way, something to relay, and I meant to do this a little while ago. The Albert Haynesworth comments after the game. I don't know if you guys caught those. But Albert Haynesworth was essentially asked, hey, what was the difference from your time in Washington to tonight? And Haynesworth goes, well, we won, for starters. And, oh, yeah, I also played, which is the bigger one that I got the kick out of. It's less, oh, yeah, well, they won. Well, that's a jab to Washington. They won yesterday. They beat the New York Giants. But the fact that he goes, oh, yeah, and I actually played, and I got on the field. I like the fact that Albert Haynesworth, and I spent some time talking about this on ESPN Boston Radio during the week, hasn't totally won me over as a guy. I feel like too many people have just taken that bait. And the fact that he is an outgoing personality and, you know, someone who seems like a genuinely nice guy when you're just talking to him, I just think that's kind of blocking out some of his track record from the past. So to say that he's totally won me over would be an overstatement, and he hasn't. But I do like when he's tossing around these comments post-game, and he seems like he is he's quick on his feet. He's quick on his feet, Kevin Collins, and he throws out those little jabs, those little barbs.
The witty Albert.
He's wittier than I thought. I didn't know he was a witty guy.
He just didn't get a chance
when he was down there collecting $100 million and, you know, getting too fat to be on the football field and laying down in the football, you know, maybe
Fat Albert.
Maybe I didn't know that he had all those quick one-liners down there.
So now he's never going to come on the show if he hears you dissing him like this.
You think he's listening?
Yeah, he probably is.
He's probably streaming on. He's probably streaming on the app, Kevin. That's probably
listening?
True.
Yeah, he's probably sitting on the plane waiting, you know, to be told to store his mobile device for takeoff. And he's sitting here listening to you, bad
mouth. Yeah, that's probably.
Dion probably told him, hey, check out this cat. He's pretty cool. He's pretty fresh.
I'm sure. That's exactly what Dion Branch said. Patriots did take care of the Dolphins tonight, 38-24, as they start their season on the right foot. They are in a three-way tie atop the division when you talk about the Jets and Bills also winning their first game. Look, the Patriots, by avoiding a loss in week one, avoid looking up at everybody else in the standings that the Dolphins are now forced to do after dropping the opener. Big night from Tom Brady. I also thought a big night from the offense overall, and I told you that one thing we learned off the bat, the lockout didn't affect the offense, and it affected this new system defensively. Probably something we should have had a guess on coming into the first week of the regular season here in the NFL, but certainly something that we were shown in this 38-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Our thanks to Patriots wide receiver Dion Branch for joining us on the program. Also thanks to Kevin Collins and Matt LePan working behind the scenes, sticking with us here for 2 hours on the Patriots.com postgame show. I will talk to you next Sunday after Patriots and Chargers right here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in Progress, Patriots Playbook, and the Pete Shepherd Show. Sunday, September 18th, the Patriots return to Foxborough to open their home schedule against the San Diego Chargers at 4:15. Stay tuned for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.